Consider this part two of last week's homily, because our readings pick up and continue a similar theme that was begun last week. Going from me to we. The importance of not being selfish, but of being bigger than that, and of recognizing the needs of those around us. You recall that last week we heard from the prophet Amos, as we do today. Amos criticizes those who are merchants at the temple and cheat their customers. And they cheat their customers for their own benefit. And then in the gospel story last week, we heard about the steward who was cheating his master. And the reason he cheated was out of selfish motives. He wanted to take care of himself. Now today, we hear once again from Amos. This time, he's criticizing the wealthy who are comfortable, complacent, and at ease on their couches of ivory, eating wonderfully each day while having no concern for those around them. And then in today's gospel, we hear this parable of the rich man and Lazarus. The rich man, we hear, dresses in purple, dines sumptuously each day. He's truly wealthy. And on his front porch is a poor man who is so poor and so sick that even dogs would come and lick his sores. And he longed to fill his belly with the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. But of course, the rich man offered him nothing. He is blind to the needs of those around him. He is among those we would call complacent and at ease, lying on his couch of ivory. But since we, as the followers of Christ, are called to move from a concern for me and my needs and my wants to a concern for the greater community, the we, what do we need, what would benefit us, then we should be praying to have our eyes open. Not selfishly self-concerned, not selfishly self-absorbed, not selfishly self-centered, but to show greater concern for those around us. It was not too long ago when the wealthy of our nation recognized their obligation to society. Consider the great industrialist Andrew Carnegie. Andrew Carnegie founded the company that would become United States Steel. He was a wealthy man early in the industrial age. But Andrew Carnegie recognized his obligation not only to himself or just to his family, but to the larger society. And so he used much of his wealth to fund hospitals, universities, research and development, all of which benefited those beyond him and his family. Years ago, there was a phrase that applied primarily to European royal families. The term is French, and it is noblesse oblige. Noblesse oblige means nobility has its obligations. And it applies not only to royal families, but to all who have wealth. To not simply keep it for themselves, but to share it for the good of others. To move from me to we. Consider in our own age, Bill Gates. Bill Gates is the founder of Microsoft. How many of you have Microsoft products on your computer? Yeah, all of us do. Bill Gates has determined that the majority of his wealth would go to charity. Billions of dollars. He's also said publicly that he does not want his children to have that kind of money. He knows what it generates, that sense of selfishness and self-concern and self-centeredness. He doesn't want his children to have to endure that. And so he's going to free them from the temptation to focus on self, and instead is sharing his wealth for the good of the nation, for the good of society. You might be able to identify other people who are incredibly generous and have done wonderful things with their wealth, who could be spending their days resting on beds of ivory, but they are not. And yet, we also know there are some incredibly wealthy people who keep it only for themselves, only for their family, only for what they want, and only for what they do. But today's readings urge us to have a greater sense of philanthropy, of sharing. But all of that can happen only if we open our eyes. The rich man who had Lazarus right on his porch was blind to the need right in front of him. And that's a trap that every one of us can fall into. We can become blind to the needs of those around us, blind to the needs of society, blind to the needs of the world. And yet we have examples before us, both in the scriptures and in our own history, that remind us that some of the wealthy are incredibly generous. We live in the wealthiest nation of the world. And even though most of us would not consider ourselves rich or wealthy, we do have resources of time or talent or treasure that are meant to be shared, not kept only for oneself or one's own benefit, lest that criticism of the rich man that Jesus points out in today's parable falls on us for our willful blindness of the needs of others. And so, in this part two, we continue to move away from selfishness and toward sharing. Away from a concern for me and a greater concern for we. And so, we lift our hearts and voices together as we sing.